The Birth of Venus is a new historical novel that offers the readers the opportunity to get lost in Florence during the Renaissance. But critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
The title of Sarah Dunant's new novel, The Birth of Venus, refers to the famous Botticelli painting of the hefty goddess on a half shell. It also signals to readers that this is another one of those historical novels about painting, like Tracy Chevalier's Girl with a Pearl Earring and Susan Vreeland's Girl in Hyacinth Blue. Certainly the chief attraction of these artsy novels that are so hot right now is that we readers get to step through the frame and into the painter's world and stay there for hours and hours longer than even the most extended museum visit allows. To be sure, The Birth of Venus offers escapism of the erudite sort. It packs in plenty of information about fresco painting and church politics and aristocratic marriage rituals in Florence at the end of the 14th century. But as befits a novel about the humanist art of the Renaissance, all these scholarly details mesh with a spicy storyline. In the prologue of The Birth of Venus, we readers are shown the corpse of an elderly nun, which is being stripped in preparation for burial. Except instead of stigmata or self-flagellation scars or the other common marks of holy distinction, this nun's body turns out to be tattooed with a long silver-green snake that writhes its way down from her shoulder to the place where fig leaves usually nestle. And the head of this snake is actually the face of a man with a tongue like Gene Simmons. From that moment on, no matter how many mini-lectures on Renaissance dress and architecture this novel offers, we readers know that plot-wise, we're really into the wild and woolly realm of the Gothic. What follows is the life story of that nun with the hidden body art, whose name, long before she entered the convent, was Alessandra Cecchi. Alessandra grows up in Florence, the daughter of a wealthy cloth merchant. Through the intercession of her sympathetic mother, Alessandra is tutored in classical philosophy and literature, along with her doltish brothers. She also develops a secret passion to paint, learning to draw by copying devotional art around the house. As Alessandra tells us, "It was one thing for my father to indulge a precocious child in an occasional sketch of the Virgin. It was quite another to have a grown daughter so possessed that she raided the kitchen for capon bones to grind for boxwood dust or goose feathers for a dozen new quills. Art might be a way to God, but it was also the mark of a tradesman and no pastime for a young woman of good family." Alessandra finds a much-needed mentor when she's almost 15, and her father commissions a young artist to decorate the family chapel. Furtively, Alessandra seeks the artist out to seriously learn something about painting. Other lessons eventually ensue. Meanwhile, outside the hushed confines of the house, the geometry of influence within Florence begins to shift. Upon the death of the city's cultivated leader, Lorenzo de' Medici, the infamous fire and brimstone monk Savonarola begins terrorizing the citizenry with his God Squad goons. To add to the anxiety of this historical moment, French forces are poised to invade the city, and Alessandra, as an unmarried young woman, is especially vulnerable, so her family arranges a marriage to a much older man. What she's long dreaded is about to come to pass. As Alessandra says, "I will go to his house, run his household, have his children, and disappear into the fabric of his life like a pale thread of color in a tapestry." Not to despair, though, we're only about a quarter of the way through this tale that has more twists and turns in it than that salacious snake tattoo. The Birth of Venus is a rollicking, elegantly written, and yes, lightly educational novel. But what makes it more than just a bodice ripper with a graduate degree is the robust character of Alessandra. Like Olivia Shakespeare, the bard's mythical and much more gifted sister, whose thwarted career Virginia Woolf imagined in a room of one's own, Alessandra Cecchi is so eloquently captivating in talking about her yearning to paint. She makes readers regret the real lives of those anonymous artistic women of the Renaissance who might have wanted to do more than just model.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Birth of Venus by Sarah Dunant.